welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Do you hear that, Ern? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one audio source for Harry Potter news, theories, discussion, as well as info straight from the makers of the books and films themselves, like me, Matt Lewis. I play Neville Longbottom in the Harry Potter films, and I'm very happy to be here helping introduce your hosts, the Pottercast trio, Melissa, John, and Sue.
Everyone will please not panic.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Later, dude.
Okay, cool. I'll talk to you in a bit.
Welcome, Potter Pretties. It's Pottercast number 53.
You're so pretty.
53. In this show...
Sorry.
The gang's all
show,
here.
The gang's all here. In this show, we have the last interview with Matt Lewis.
Oh, Matt.
Yeah, the last
Such
portion.
Such a good guy.
This time, it's all fan parts. You guys are... It's all your questions. We started that last week, but now it is 100% that portion. And let me tell you... There are some funny ones,
yes.
And that's all I'm going to say.
The only show where the fans talk to the stars.
Yeah.
Once every 52 weeks.
Julie of Leaky, our editor, has interviewed the HP Alliance, who is a group who is trying to increase political awareness by spreading the messages of Harry Potter. It's actually a pretty cool notion, so we have that. And that's it. So we have some news from a certain girl named Suze.
Suze in the news?
Right,
let's hear some news.
Listening to the news? Again? As if a normal boy cares what's on the news.
Hello, everyone. Here are the top stories this week. Actor Tom Felton says in a new video interview that he has penciled in a contract to return as Draco Malfoy in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, and would like to appear in Film 7 as well. He notes that this would keep him tied up with Potter film work until the year 2010. Earlier reports indicate that Half-Blood Prince is scheduled for a release in 2008. Mr. Felton also goes on to note that they are three-quarters of the way done with filming on the current Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix movie, which is due in theaters next July. Actor Rupert Grint, who recently celebrated his 18th birthday, also has given a new interview where it indicates that he will be back as Ron Weasley for Half-Blood Prince, and he says he would like to appear in Film 7 as well. There are some new photos of Rupert as he was in Edinburgh for the screening of his new movie, Driving Lessons, along with Julie Walters, who also portrays Molly Weasley in the Harry Potter movies. Finally, we saw another interview, this time with actor Dan Radcliffe, who plays Harry, and Katie Ling, who plays Cho Chang, and they both discussed filming of their character's kissing scene in the upcoming Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix movie. Dan joked that it took them about 30 takes to get the scene right. In the same interview, we also heard from Phoenix director David Yates, who spoke about the emotionally rich film he intends to present, and said this movie will feel, quote, a bit more raw, edgier, darker, and tougher than the others, end quote. You can find the links to all of these interviews on our website. Well, for all your Harry Potter needs, be sure to click on leakynews.com, which is updated daily. And now, back to the show.
Okay, we're back.
Back.
Get rid of the music.
We're done.
I like that music.
It's good stuff. You know who did that, of course.
Who did that?
Alex and the Remus Lupins.
Woohoo!
Alex of the Remus Lupins. Alex, who is the Remus Lupin.
Yeah.
Who is not Remus and the Lupins.
It's a funny little joke.
Remus Lupins. I bet he's never heard it before either.
I know. No. We're 100% original over here.
Yeah.
Alex made us some great new music that you're going to be hearing all over the show.
Absolutely.
Sort of in increments this week, next week. We don't know. Keep your ears open.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
So what's up with, we heard your news, Sue, and it's kind of
excellent
fantastic,
news.
But which parts of it do you think that we should discuss?
Well, the one that really just caught my eyes the most recent is about the newest interview with Mr. Tom Felton, who is better known as Draco Malfoy. Mr. Felton gave some interesting tidbits of news that he's penciled in a contract to be back for Harry Potter and Half-Blood Prince, which he is looking forward to. Can't imagine why.
Of course. He's got to be all emo Draco in that book.
Well, he has to be he would have been the biggest idiot for turning
Totally. That's like his biggest movie so far.
Begging
for sure.
To say that's Draco's huge
Hands
moment.
Down.
Oh, gosh. Could you imagine? Ugh.
Yeah. He's got. Didn't he say he wants to do the seventh one if he's got the opportunity?
Which
it's
he
funny
said,
because
it's planned for 2010, which is basically exactly what we said last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because I heard Joe talking and mentioning that there was going to be a carp fishing thing in the Black Lake.
Is there?
in book seven. And Draco and his friends were getting to play.
They have their own perfect little fishing squad, do they? The little Slytherin's fishing squad.
So they start a new club. The club is allowed to continue, thanks to Umbridge leaving.
Wow. I didn't know about that. That's good, though.
Yes,
Slytherin
absolutely.
Fishing club. I can see it now.
Significantly, he hinted that there is a plan in place for the seventh movie to come out in 2010, which makes a lot of sense.
Well, he wouldn't know. He was just speculating.
He has to sign a contract. If he has to sign a contract where... for how long of his time is going to be taken up by this, they're going to give him some idea.
Yeah,
I would imagine, you know,
perhaps.
Yeah.
And it just makes sense. I mean, if movie six comes out in November 2008 and they take 2 years, not even a year and a half like they usually do, but 2 years for it, then it would still come out in 2010.
Long time for that seventh movie.
They don't need any more time than they do with everything else.
No, I'm saying that movie better be.
They're not
big,
creating
long
the world.
Movie. What if they like pick up and make the whole seventh book in like Australia? Like it's set somewhere else completely.
Because...
So they have to make all new sets.
They make
or, like,
all new sets.
If the Great Hall gets destroyed in like the first few chapters.
Then they're still going to need the Great Hall set.
Can you imagine how sad that would be to watch on screen, like the Great Hall that we've saw for all those years to be destroyed in front of our eyes?
No, don't say that, because you know what? That reminds me of that episode of MASH when the set burned down after they filmed the end. So I don't want to hear this, John. That's like bad karma.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
You need an anti bad karma spell. Pa-ching!
Oh, sad.
But you know
what else, though?
We have to say this. And just about the 2010 thing, and we have to say this does not mean that he knows specifically the year that the book is coming out. I mean,
I hope the book's out by 2010.
Well, yeah, we do too. But
hilarious.
I just think we need to break.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think
nobody in the film would have any more information about the books than Joe. You know,
right.
Nobody in the film should be taken seriously bringing out information about the books.
No, pretty much it.
Yeah.
Pretty much it goes Joe, then it goes Arthur Levine, and then it goes Tom Felton. Pretty much is the order of the suspects. That's pretty much it, right? And then somewhere down that list, Hot Cheryl.
What else is up, Sue?
Well, what else? Speaking of Half-Blood Prince, Mr. Rupert Grint has also given a new interview, and he said that he's coming back for Half-Blood Prince 2, which is a good thing. And he would like to do all seven of the movies, which would be great.
Totally.
Yeah, obviously. And then we also heard a new interview from Dan and Katie about the big kissing scene. Yes.
Okay, I gotta say, I'm a little annoyed.
It's tender and loving too.
That kiss is supposed to be funny and bad and awkward and terrible.
Why does your first kiss have to be bad?
In the book, Harry's...
My first kiss was hot.
Thanks, John. In the book, all Harry says about it is that it was wet, and that gives you all the implication that it was just awkward and terrible and it's funny. And if they're making it like perfect movie star, I'll be a little annoyed, I gotta say.
I like a big crescendo of the music.
Yeah.
The cameras twisting around them and just...
That's what actually happens with Ginny. He does the big movie star walk forward grabber kind of thing. He can't that's not your first kiss.
Yeah. It'd be funny if like for this one they do like the horns like like for the kiss. And they do like a quick zoom in on his face and he's like, whoa. That'd be hilarious.
Well, and on a positive note, though, besides the kiss, we did hear from director David Yates, who also talked a little bit about how the film... I think this is actually the first time he's really talked about what he's going to do with the movie, and he said he's going to make it... It's going to be a little darker. It's going to be a more emotionally rich was the way he described how he's going to make the movie, which I'm very excited about, too.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, and one other thing, they said that the tapestry prop on Grimmauld Place was designed by J.K. herself. It's pretty cool.
Oh,
well, that's
really
interesting.
Nice.
I wonder what they mean by designed. If they just went off that sketch that she made.
Well,
I wonder if a picture of it will ever become available.
Oh man, I hope so.
She had to line it out. She had to draw it out.
Yeah.
And tell them which parts not to put on film.
Yeah.
Oh, do you really think though that she did that? I mean, we didn't. We heard...
If they said she did, I'm sure she did.
But I meant that she wrote like that. There's going to be parts they won't show.
I mean, maybe she said, curious. "Well, I can't put. You have to just blur this. Just don't focus on this part. I can't put this on a tapestry that a million set people are going to see."
It's true.
You know.
Okay, one more piece of piece of news I thought was kind of fun, that the school grades have come back. That Emma is in fact very Hermione-like, and
she's brilliant.
I thought that was actually very pretty cool. I mean,
totally.
It's really interesting because they get. tutored on set, and there's like the connotation that, oh yeah, they get tutored, blah blah, they don't get the same sort of, when they took a standardized test and did really well, obviously that tutoring is very effective, you know.
Well, sure. Yeah. It's just like homeschooling,
one-on-one,
you know.
Yeah, one-on-one. Homeschooling is not always effective.
Well, if you have good teachers at home.
Because there's different, you know, standards and amount of work and right. that you can get away with being one-on-one, and, you know.
Well, you could do more work, though.
Well,
if there's a subject that you actually take a liking to and can be yeah. really good at it, you can accelerate yeah. faster.
You can in a perfect, you know, world, but sometimes it's not the case.
I don't know, but she got 8, like, the top A stars or whatever. I mean, so I guess that's like 8 outstanding owls. And I thought that was really, that's pretty good, you know, considering what else she's doing in her life. I don't know. So
yeah.
It's pretty awesome. So
gold stars all around.
Yeah. They get the Pottercast stamp of approval. Good job.
They do. Cause probably scored better than I would have scored.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah. All right, anything else?
No.
Good news this week?
I guess so.
Let's toss it over to Julie here and let's hear from her for a while.
Okay.
Sound good?
Cool. Sounds like a plan.
All right. Take it, Jules.
In the fan corner, a one-on-one interview with a new lucky fan each week.
Not me, not Hermione, you.
Hey, Pottercast listeners, this is Julie from Leaky News, and I'm here today with Andrew Slack, an interesting young man. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Julie.
Andrew started an organization with some fellow performers, and it's called the HP Alliance, and it's designed to get people who are interested in the books to see them as something more than entertainment and to spur them on to helping to make our world a better world. And is that a pretty good assessment, would you say?
That was a great assessment, Julie. That was awesome. Yeah, we were started by myself with my comedy group, the Late Night Players. We have a Harry Potter element to our group. We call it Dumbledore's Armpit. And we do Harry Potter humor as we travel around the country. And I got to know Paul and Joe DeGeorge, who are Harry and the Potters. And those guys are amazing. And I actually met them. I was in this crazy sweat because I was running to go to a concert of theirs. I had never been to one before. This is last year. I run up to them right before their concert and I say, guys, I want to talk to you about this this project that I'm starting. I started this project called the Harry Potter Alliance. And this was just an idea that had come to me through this other project that I was working on called whatwouldDumbledoreDo.com. And the Harry Potter Alliance came to me as this idea of Harry Potter fans can make a huge difference in the world because we have a lot of heart and we have a lot of love, and we're reading a book that has a message in it that's really about transforming the world and transforming ourselves, and it's just amazing. So there's a lot that we can do. Anyway, long story short, Harry and the Potters really were into the idea, and so me and them and the Late Night Players / Dumbledore's Armpit, we started to work together to make this thing happen. And we've been through a lot in terms of it seeing some good developments, but recently it's seen some really wonderful developments on MySpace. We created a MySpace account, and then it's called myspace.com/HP Alliance. So there's the plug, and there's a really cool summary on there.
So what are you actually asking people to do when they sign on to this account?
We are beginning to send out bulletins on MySpace, and we have a blog on MySpace. And what we do is we'll take an issue. Let's say global warming, for instance. Global warming is an issue that's of tremendous seriousness, and there's a lot that we can do about global warming right now. But unfortunately, although 100% of scientists are completely supportive of the idea that global warming is a fact, the media continues to present it as just a theory. And that's very similar to this idea that the media in Order of the Phoenix was denying that Voldemort was back, saying it's not a big deal, don't pay attention. Well, it was a big deal, and it was up to individuals like Harry and Luna Lovegood and Ron and Hermione and Neville and Dumbledore's army to wake the world up, and they did. and the world did wake up to the fact that Voldemort was back, and we have to wake the world up to the fact that global warming's back. So I write up this description on the MySpace account, and then I show ways that people can get involved by linking to specific websites that are around fighting global warming and making the world aware that it's happening, and ways that each of us can play our part to be more ecological in our lives.
Wonderful. And you mentioned Amnesty International as well.
Yes.
Which is, yes, as we know, a cause dear to Joe's heart.
And I love that it's a cause dear to Joe's heart, and I think it comes so clear in her writing. Amnesty is all about working to free political prisoners, working to end the genocide in Darfur, which is something we've written about on the Harry Potter Alliance. Darfur is seen over 400,000 people killed and millions of people displaced from their homes. And yet last year, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes and Michael Jackson and The Runaway Bride got 100 times more media coverage than the Darfur crisis. And the Darfur crisis is not impossible to stop. It's actually very stoppable. But what needs to happen is people need to care about it, and people do care about it. It's just a matter of thinking about it and talking about it. And once again, we see an issue that's similar to ignoring something serious that our media and our governments oftentimes do. And Harry Potter reflects that very accurately. And once again, we need to wake the world up about something serious that's happening.
Waking the world up is an interesting way of looking at it, I suppose. On your website, by educating people or at least directing them to different websites, you're doing that. But I know for myself as an adult, and I would imagine it's even more intense for a younger person, sometimes you find out about an issue like this and just feel so overwhelmed and powerless. What kind of things are you helping people discover that they can do themselves about these huge issues?
The problems that are in our world are so crazy, and it seems like there's nothing we can do. And I think that's why we don't want the media to cover it, because we sort of get like just sort of overwhelmed. And it's really important to remember that it's okay to be overwhelmed, because we're human and we have a heart, and it hurts so much to hear about other people suffering the way people are suffering. But it's really helpful just to know that there are very little things that you can do to help the world. And when I mean little, I mean, there are tons of opportunities, but there are things that you can do that could make a difference, and they are very small things. Things like writing the media to say, I want you to cover Darfur a little more. Things like writing a congressperson to saying, and don't be mean to your congressperson, say, I appreciate what you're doing for our country, what you're doing for my community, but I would like you to be interested in Darfur, be interested in global warming. And the stuff we put on the Harry Potter Alliance MySpace account, the different websites that you can go to for that kind of thing, do a better job of what I'm going to do right now.
Yeah.
And showing the little things you can do.
And it really is remarkably easy, I've found, to contact your representatives and senators online.
Yeah. Oh, it's so easy. I mean, you can do it online. You can do it on the phone. I mean, there's no end to what you can do. It's not all about contacting your congressperson. It's also what you can do with your friends. And there's just a lot of different things. And we're going to put links onto that on the myspace.com/HP Alliance site. But there's more to it than that, which is, It's not just a matter of healing other people's suffering. It's a matter of healing our own suffering. And we see that with Harry. I mean, every time that Harry is on a quest or on this journey and he's fighting the dark arts, you know, in the world, he's also making himself a better person. He's also growing. He's also changing. His heart's expanding. And I think that's really important for us to realize that we're all, you know, human, and we all are in a process and a journey. And that process becomes so much more empowered when we end up making a difference in other people's lives, because we're doing it in our own. And one thing that we want to do with the Harry Potter Alliance is get young people to be empowering their own magic, because we all have magic inside of us, and we all have this power of love inside of us, and it can be done through our love and our creativity. So we're going to start putting up really cool and fun exercises for anyone of any age to start doing in order to feel more engaged with their creativity and more engaged with, you know, the love in their own personal life.
That's such a great idea.
Oh, thank you. I hope so. I mean, I hope that people feel empowered by it and then go on to help others be empowered too, whether it's in Darfur or around the corner, because the whole human race, we're all in this together. There's no one who's on the outside of this. And I want people to also know with the Harry Potter Alliance that everyone's included to be part of this and to put in their input, and we want to hear from everyone. And what we see in the books, I mean, is that Harry has so much sorrow, and Dumbledore makes it very clear when he doesn't say it, so I'm going to paraphrase, but he says, you know, Harry, that sorrow can break your heart, but it can also break your heart open. And we watch time and again Harry's heart continue to open more and more. And what I was going to say before was that in the last scene, after Harry says, I'm going to be loyal to Dumbledore, he's not going to go away in my heart. He'll always be alive as long as I'm loyal to him. We also see that Ron and Hermione made that choice as well. And Harry goes off and he loves them. He's walking away and they say, well, you don't think we're going to leave you, mate? I mean, we're with you on this. We will go to the ends of the earth with you. We will die if necessary. But our love will always prevail, will always live. Because unlike the Dark Lord, unlike Voldemort, we don't get stopped by death. We're not afraid of death. We are dedicated to love, and love defeats all of that. Love defeats all destruction.
Andrew, I love your enthusiasm, and I love the way you've taken your passion for these important causes that are happening in the real world and the Harry Potter model and mesh them together to help people become more excited. And I understand that you weren't originally a Harry Potter fan. So what made that kick in for you?
I didn't want to have anything to do with Harry Potter. I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was just pop culture nonsense and just manufactured hype, like, whatever, Harry Potter, I don't need that. I'm going to listen to Bob Dylan over here. What I didn't realize is what I was missing out on. A professor of mine who I love so much and is one of my Dumbledores sat in front of our class and was talking about how our culture sends a lot of negative messages to children. But one thing that's positive that it sends to children is Harry Potter. My ears perked up. I thought, what? No way. Are you kidding? But my mind was open from then on. And I graduated in 2002 and started working with kids of all ages. And no matter what the economic group was, no matter what the racial or ethnic background was of these kids, they were all into Harry Potter. And then I thought, okay, something's going on here. So on my favorite holiday, which is Halloween, of course, for me, I sat down and I picked up the first chapter of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. And I read that first chapter and I turned to the person sitting next to me and I said, this book just changed my life. It just totally changed my life. And that's happened to me just once before, and I felt it go through me. And then I got sick. I had mono right after that, and I finished the books reading mono. The books really helped me heal, actually. I was laughing. I was crying. I was just so into it. I started looking around and thinking, okay, now I see all these things that are making me change, and the books were helping me with my own life, but I also saw all these parallels with how you handled trauma, on a global level, because the wizarding community had a lot of trauma happen to them when Voldemort came back, and it was very difficult for them to process. It's very difficult for any community to process trauma on that sort of scale.
Very much easier to pretend it's not happening.
Exactly. And we're dealing with that, actually. We're dealing with that as a nation. I mean, September 11th was a horrible and tragic incident. We're all trying to process it. And I think that Harry Potter helps me ride the subway. I mean, I'm afraid of, you know, like, of you know, hearing about the terrorist plots here and there. But they're living in an age like that. They're living in an age where it's scary and you don't know what's going to happen next. But they continue to press on. They continue to live their lives and they continue to love. And that really, really can help. So I began seeing, okay, and they also make governments conscious and sober. Joe said that in the interview with Melissa and Emerson last summer. Yes, she was saying how, you know, one thing that she hates seeing post 9/11 is the way governments have been so quick to arrest people without giving them trial. And we see that with Sirius, we see that with Mundungus and Stan Shunpike. You know, throwing people in jail without giving them trial is generally not a great thing if you're trying to be a free society, even if you are in the face of all this horribleness.
Mm-hmm. And Harry even says that to Scrimgeour, you'd rather just arrest people then be sure you're arresting the right people.
Exactly. Exactly. We want to make sure we're arresting the right, you know, that's just, and I don't want to compare anyone in this world to a Death Eater. That's, I mean, they're fictional characters, but the sort of sorrow and pain and trauma that we deal with and that they deal with in the books is comparable. And there are a lot of parallels there. So I thought, you know, how can we take Harry Potter and get people to sort of, understand it, not just on a personal level. And it's wonderful when we talk about Harry Potter. I mean, I read the Harry Potter news all the time. What's happening with Daniel Radcliffe? Did Rupert Grinner just sneeze? And you know, what happened with that? And I love all that. I mean,
and
I'm
the latest haircut.
I'm into all that. Yeah, but what can we do more? How can we do a deeper reading of these books? And I thought of this idea. Kids are oftentimes given this message that they're too young to make a difference. There's no reason for them to worry about the world. All they should worry about is what they're going to buy at the mall this weekend.
But it's their world. It's the world they're going to inherit.
It's the world they're in right now. It's the world we're all in. It's the world, and it is the world they're going to inherit, of course. And let's not just be consumers. Let's not just give in to the Lucius Malfoys that want to manipulate us into buying their products. Let's go beyond that. And let's take some personal empowerment here and say, we are able to make a difference. If a 16-year-old boy can fight the most evil wizard in the world in a book that I love, then I, who am 16, can also make a big difference, even if it only means signing an online petition. Because that's the least that I can do after reading about what Harry's gone through and reading about what Dumbledore has gone through, and also knowing that as a 16-year-olds don't have it easy either. I mean, we all know that. No 16-year-old does. So it helps the process of being a teenager to care about the world.
Time to put on our extendable ears. Listen in on Potter Talk from the people making the magic.
Our new celebrity.
So Dawlish, Matt, is a very popular character these days.
No, John has this thing about Dawlish. He once made a joke about Dawlish in one of the podcasts, and it's become a thing. Everything is Dawlish. Everything is Dawlish.
Dawlish has become a new adjective, a new verb, a new adverb.
Yeah. It's just funny.
Oh, so, Dawlish, that is like that.
Yeah, he's the new Smurf.
That is so Dawlish. You guys should use that on set.
Yeah.
And just freak the hell out of poor Richard Leaf.
Oh, Richard
Leaf. I didn't freak him out a little bit.
I can't wait to see him on the red carpet and just, oh man, he's going to run
maybe,
the other
maybe
direction.
When I meet him, I could just sort of say to him, oh man, you are so Dawlish.
Yes.
Matt, we will pay you to do that.
We might as well break it into him early.
Yeah. Oh, that would be the greatest thing ever.
I mean, but he has to be prepared because he's going to have this huge, large following before he ever is in a film because what John's doing to this.
He has more fans right now than any other character who has never been in the film yet. So all of these newcomers, your Bellatrixes, your Lunas, he's got more fans than all of those guys.
I don't know about Luna. Luna's got several fan sites already.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Hello?
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 Hey there!
Hello?
Hi, how are you doing? This is Pottercast and Matt Lewis.
Hello, I'm doing good.
Yay!
What's your name? Okay, breathe.
Are you alright?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Cool.
Breathe.
I wasn't expecting it, actually.
We don't joke
That's
around.
That's okay. That's all right. Just what do you got to ask Matt here?
Oh, I was asking, do you think that Neville will remain single throughout the series, or do you think he'll probably end up with someone in the end?
Oh boy. It could be tough if he's dead.
Don't say that.
Nah,
that could have a romance in book 7.
But I don't know. That's another thing. I've not really thought about that, to be honest. I mean, I know a lot of people do ask me, but I've never really put much thought into it. I always thought Neville was far too terrified to ever even think about it. You know, if it happened, I don't think he'd know it was happening. It'd just be all a big mistake. Yeah, I just, to be honest, I can't see it. I can't see the character doing something like that unless there's a big change in the... I mean, who would want to go out with Neville? Honestly, in the context of the story, who?
Aww. Right, outside the story, we all love him because he's such a cute little goober, but inside the story, he is sort of that guy.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Well, he could do something particularly brave in the last book and, you know, turn into the hero and everybody will be fawning over him.
He might do.
That'd be no fun for you.
I would hate that.
He would demand a rewrite.
That's starting to happen, though. When he, you know, he becomes more and more confident in number five. You hardly hear him getting into any goofy trouble in number six.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, fighting bad guys like Voldemort and asking a girl out. They're different league, I'm afraid. You know?
Yeah.
Voldemort, yeah. No problem.
Girls.
I want to see you fight Draco, though. That'd be something. I think you'd have a shot against Draco.
That'd be awesome. But you do fight him in the fifth book. Attack him anyway.
Well, yeah, yeah, kind of, yeah. There's a little thing goes on there.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
You know, I do have a question for you, since you do read the book. Do you you know what shipping is, man? Do you, like, follow a certain romance in the books? Do you think, like, Harry and Ginny will get together, say, at the very end, or... That's a big...
Ron Hermione,
that, yeah.
Or Harry and Hermione.
I never sort of,
Nope.
I don't know if that's... I've just never really looked at it that way. I don't know why. I mean, obviously, Ron and Hermione was one thing that I sort of saw coming through in number 5. And especially in the films. I mean, it's been the progression of it in the films has been much more drastic. But yeah, I'd say those two, but only those two, really. I never saw Ginny and Harry come in until... So was it book six that happened? Was it book six?
Book six, yeah.
Yeah, I never saw that coming.
Yeah. Do you have any insight as what any of your other friends and any of the other guys think of all of the fans being so concerned about, you know, who they're going to be dating in these movies as far as their characters dating each other? Like, you know, if, you know, what Rupert and those guys think of all the, you know, Ron and Hermione nonsense?
I imagine Rupert and Emma know that there's a lot of people that want to see that happening. I think that's going to be... Can you just imagine if they get, like, the first kiss in the seventh one? Imagine the cinema going absolutely mental.
Oh, my God.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah, I think they must know, but yeah, I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah.
Well, the first kiss in 6 is no joke either. That's like a big movie star kiss in number, you know?
Harry and Ginny.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I gotta tell you,
absolutely.
The fans, of all the things they expected, even if they expected Harry and Ginny to get together, for them to get it together before Ron and Hermione was a huge shock to everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, what's wrong waiting for you?
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, with Harry dying at the end of the seventh book, we have to have time for a little romance. So they
he's not going
to
die.
John,
don't say that. Stop.
All right, I'm calling the next person to stop this conversation.
Hello. Yeah.
Hey, Squee.
Pottercast and Matt Lewis.
Yes, it is.
No way.
Yes,
no way.
Say hi.
Hello.
Hi. Is this Matthew Lewis?
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, excellent, thank you.
What's your name?
I'm Haley.
What's your question for Matt?
Well, I was just wondering, what's the best part about playing Neville Longbottom, and what's your favorite characteristic about him?
Well, the thing I love about playing Neville is, well, two things, really. The first thing is that it's just so unlike me at home that it's almost like playing somebody else. It's like leading two completely different lives. I feel like Superman, only neither of my lives are superheroes. But yeah, it's just like, completely different. And I go into the studio and just become someone else with it. I'm just a big liar. I just, for a week, I lie and then come home at weekends and be me again. The second thing I love about him is the fact that I can come into the studio and not know what I'm going to be doing. And sometimes it's completely out of the blue. I'll be doing something that'll be just cool, you know, something so much like I said, you know, that the pixies and the book attacking me, and I don't know these things until I get in there and they suddenly say, right, you're doing this, and I'm like, wait, that's cool. And I'm always doing something completely different. That's just so much fun, never knowing what to expect. I don't know, most people sort of in the jobs would kind of want to know what they're going to be doing, but no, I think that's the best thing, is not knowing what I'm going to be doing the next day. My favourite characteristic, probably, I think, is courage. You know, although he comes across as weedy and he's very nervous all the time, I would not say that's a lack of courage. I think he's quite scared of things, he's terrified of things. But I can't remember, was it John Wayne that said something like that courage is being scared to death but saddling up anyway? I just think that, you know, he's always terrified and he makes mistakes, but he still goes on, you know, he's still there at the end fighting for Harry and the good and everything. And yeah, and that's courage, and I think that's his best feature.
He was the first to stand up when they were learning how to dance.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, he was probably terrified. He was shaking and everything, but
yep.
He wanted to learn how to dance, so he stood up and went forward.
He did it, and he went to the Yule Ball with Ginny, and he came back later than anybody else with a huge smile on his face.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you, Haley.
Thanks, Haley. Bye.
What did they tell you about that scene when you're supposed to come back with the shoes around your neck? What did they say you were so happy about? Just having, you know, your first date of your life? Is that kind of what it was?
There wasn't really much sort of background as to what actually happened. I mean, you just assume that he's been there dancing the whole time. We sort of left it to the imagination on what had just happened. But,
yeah.
I mean, he just came back and it was just the whole point of him being the last one back, you know, there's something that would never, ever happen to him. But here he is, you know, at the Yule Ball that the whole school was invited to, and he was the last one back. It's just,
It
kind of shook him up a little bit. He's like, wow, that's just the best that I've ever had, you know. And
I agree with you. That's my favorite characteristic of Neville, that it's hard and it's terrifying, but he just gets up and does it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We saw, and I'm sure you've seen the deleted scenes, at least the ones that were shown to us. There was one that kind of caught everybody a little off guard when it was the one with Snape talking to Karkaroff outside, and they showed two students together in one of the carriages, which was, you know, probably one of the more risque things we've seen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In these movies. Yeah. It's like, are they going to, you know, keep going, pushing that envelope, you think, in this next movie and the ones following to kind of keep up with how real life teenagers are, or are they going to really try to shy away from that?
Well, I don't think they'll shy away from it. I mean, it's something that happens, and if they want to, again, add some reality to it, and as J.K. Rowling was trying to do, just give that kind of believability that it is actually a school that teenagers go to, then they definitely won't shy away from it. But I don't think they're going to go out of their way to you know, sort of make it Grange Hill. You know what Grange Hill is, right? I just realized that
we get the idea.
Sounds a little like
Dawson's
Creek. What I'm going to guess.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like... but it's sort of for kids, but all this crazy stuff happens, and it's set in a school, and I don't think they go out of their way to make it... Okay, Dawson's Creek, yeah, that's a great example. I don't think they're going to try and make it like that. But it does happen, and the fact that they showed it, I was very pleased with the fact that they didn't shy away from it. I don't know, I think in this new film there's not much time for it, to be honest. They've really had to sort of knuckle down and say, look, it's the evil's there, we're going to be fighting it. But I mean, it's the whole film doesn't take on a miserable mood. It's not all about the fighting. There is still the fun there, and it's got a good balance.
Hello.
Hi,
who's this?
Hi, it's Hannah here.
Hi, Hannah, this is Pottercast and Matt Lewis.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Cool.
So you have a question?
Oh, yeah, I do. I want to ask what you thought of your character's sort of change of look in this next film.
I didn't mind it so much as it's great for the character.
Think it sort of fitted him?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely a Neville haircut. I mean, we were discussing it earlier that you could just totally see him just trying too hard to be cool, and it's going completely wrong. And yeah, I just think it suits him so well, which is just such a shame because I hate the hair.
A lot of people kind of surprised. They didn't really like it, but I thought it was fine once I watched the video.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't like the hair. It's not the sort of hair I would have. Don't think that's the kind of haircut I'd go for. But no, I think it really does suit the character well. I think that's totally what we're doing. If you think about, I think it was earlier, like, just Neville being in the background is trying his best to do his hair, and it's just looking rubbish. I think that would just be totally Neville, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So thanks, goodbye, Hannah. Bye, Hannah. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hello?
Hi!
Hey. Hi!
This is Pottercast and Matt Lewis.
It's really hot. It's so good to hear from you. It's awesome. How's everyone?
We're okay. How about you?
Yeah, great. I'm great. Thank you.
Hey, what's your question for Matt?
I just want to know how he relates to the character of Neville.
How do I relate to the character of Neville? Okay. Well, I'm incredibly forgetful. I am very, very clumsy. I knock things over all the time. I think I almost forgot to do this podcast until until my dad remembered. just think what else? I'm not as courageous as Neville. I sort of always say, yeah, I big myself up like, yeah, I'm courageous. Yeah, I might get scared, but I'll still do it. But I probably won't. Yeah, I'll probably bottle it. So yeah, CD beats me there. But
that sounds like Neville a bit.
But I'd say I'm a bit cooler than Neville, really. I think, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope
oh,
I don't
sure
relate to him
are,
too
Matt.
Much.
I'm sure really. You're much cooler than Neville.
I love Neville. That's a good thing.
Yeah, you go home from the set back to your five girlfriends.
Six.
Six girlfriends. Sorry, I forgot about the new one.
That was a joke, by the way, for people who were. Yeah.
Yes, no. Matt does not have six girlfriends. I know.
Okay, well, thank you.
More than two girlfriends, honest.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I have a question, real quick. Did you do some shooting of your videotape? Did that make it to the DVD? Some stuff that you actually shot, like when you were offset on the Goblet of Fire thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it did, yeah. I don't remember where. But if you go on, like, something like Reflections on the Fourth Film or something like that.
Yeah.
You occasionally, in between, like, interviews and stuff, there's a few footage. Like, I think there was one shot in Emma's room where Dan and Emma are playing Prince of Persia on the PlayStation. And then there's one shot in the corridor and a few, I think there's one in Bonnie's room as well. And that was what I did when I was on my work experience. They sort of just cut it into the featurette.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Andy. Hey, Andy, you're on with Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hiya, how you doing?
I'm fine, how are you?
Yeah, great, thanks.
Great, you're having fun?
Yeah, okay. It's cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Big call-in show, like,
yeah.
Yeah, call out show or whatever.
Flash show, yeah. So do you have something to talk about with Matt?
Yeah, I do. I was wondering how your perception of the books has changed as you've become like an actor and if you still read them for just pleasure or whatever.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, I was a bit worried about actually when we first started filming. I was thinking when the new book comes out, am I going to be reading it thinking, oh, that's going to be good. Oh, can I go back over that? How would I do that? Blah, blah, blah. And sort of lose the story. But it doesn't happen. The books just grab me from the start and they just don't let go. And I don't have time to stop and say, how will I say that? Because I'm just being taken along with the story, and yeah, it's just I become a fan again. I'm nothing to do with it. I mean, when I read the books, I'm always just like a, not so much a fly on the wall. I always imagined I was a character in there myself, just sort of alongside everyone. Obviously, I didn't say anything, but I was there. And but yeah, so when I read the books, it just sort of it happens again. I become myself just in the story, watching it all unfold, and. Yeah, it's a credit to J.K. Rowling for being able to write a book that I can be so heavily involved with, and still every time, just stage one, you know, just reading it as a fan and thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying it.
That's awesome.
Well, what are we- okay, I have to ask, sorry, but my friend wanted me to ask you, what did you think of Neville starting to deal with weed in the last film?
The Gilly Weed.
I almost went there.
I know.
how do I say this without right?
It's okay.
Yeah.
It say
was
it.
Well, you know, the government has just messed around with it so much. He didn't know it was still illegal.
Yeah.
You know, class C and whatever. He didn't know.
Awesome.
He just yeah. So he just plead ignorance, really. He thought, and it helped out, didn't it? Yeah,
oh,
it
God,
yeah,
he could have done it without him.
Yeah.
Where did he say he got it from? Snape? I forget.
Snape's closet.
Yeah, Snape's closet. What was Snape doing with? That's what I want to know.
You went in and stole from Snape.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
That's pretty brave.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. He was probably terrified about that, but he still did.
I know, it's Snape of all people.
Neville dealing weed in a Harry Potter movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's awesome.
So wrong.
Okay. Really upset Snape. Ruined Snape's whole weekend. He was going to use that.
His stash is gone.
He's probably going out with one of the mermaids.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Snape.
I think we need to stop this line of conversation.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, I'm
thank
sorry.
Thank you. Andy, thanks a lot for everything.
Andy, you rock. Thanks a lot, dude.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. See ya.
Bye.
Oh, that was... let me tell you.
Can you imagine?
Ah! Get me back.
Oh, Snape, you're back. Mm-hmm. Sorry about last week. Some kid took the rest of my gillyweed.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Well, it has been so much fun having you here, Matt.
Excellent. I'm glad you all enjoyed it. I hope everyone has a good time. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, we can't thank you enough for continuing to stay on to do some of our intros. I'm sure everybody will get a kick out of hearing you in some quantity every week.
Cool. I hope they hope it adds a bit of variety to the thing.
Yeah, we'll try to do our best to meet your small request for recording.
All right, yeah, cool. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We'll get our elves on that.
No. All right, milk, no sugar. Cheers. Yeah.
Okay. Oops. That's a little balloon.
That's actually my coffee cup. My bad for the environment. Sorry if I'm a coffee cup.
Awful.
Which Muchka's playing with.
Typical
I'm actually doing it to keep her away from the keyboard while we record. This is a podcast service I'm doing right now.
She's our mascot. Our what do you call a mascot?
She is. That doesn't mean she gets to press on keys and stop the file from recording.
No.
I'll have her type up some special messages and put them on podcast.com.
Okay, that'll
okay?
be good.
Come on, doll. This.
Podcat. Anyway, you know what I just got in the mail? Mm.
No, what did you get in the mail, lady?
I mean, literally right before we started recording. My
licorice.
brand new Leaky Mug coaster.
Oh!
For
reals? Like, from leakymug.com, where you can buy coasters and wall clocks and mouse pads and other things to support the Leaky Mug going to California?
Absolutely.
Yay. That's a cool coaster. I wish that coaster had come.
It's actually really cool, and it looks just like a bathroom tile, so I figured out if I buy enough of them, I could tile my bathroom.
Oh, that'd be slick.
That'd be expensive.
We could
bathroom.
Have all of our faces watching you getting out of the shower.
That'd be scary.
Yeah, I know.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be very scary.
I'd like wave to them and be like, hey guys, what a great shower I just had. And they would nod their heads in my imagination.
Here, let me talk to myself.
Well, there's something so perfect about a coaster. Yeah. About a coaster being for Leaky Mug. There's something so perfect. This is where I put my Leaky Mug.
Exactly.
So that I don't ruin my furniture.
Or your cold beer.
Go to leakymug.com, click on the link for Cafe Press, and you can get all our merchandise. T-shirts are coming very soon.
Oh, yes.
You can get wall clocks that, you know, they're like, you can have a couple of them on the wall and set them to different time zones so you can always know where the Leaky Muggers
yes,
are.
Yes, exactly. So you got one for Jamie all the way out in Yorkville.
Uh-huh. Yeah. One for,
the three of us are in the same time zone.
Anybody else in a different time zone?
All of our editors are all over the place.
Yeah, editors are all over the place. That's right. Got exactly. Doris in Texas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, seriously, come on. Get to it. Hop to it, people.
My dad is actually impressed now that I've made it to the world of beer steins, so I don't know. That impressed my family.
Yes. I know. Beer stein.
My life is good. Very good.
Yeah.
If any of you who are under 21 buy a beer stein, we're going to be angry with you.
Oh, you can put their, like, candy beans
yeah,
in it.
Yeah, you can put your candy.
Who eat all the candy beans?
Birdie Bots.
I love my coaster. I want a mug, though. I think I'm...
All right. Well, enough of us...
pimping the merchandise.
Merchandising. Yeah. Nonsense. But if you do buy, you do help us go to California for our award, which would be nice to get out there. So thanks for doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
But we just wrapped up a huge Matt Lewis interview.
God.
Awesome.
You can't ask for anything better from that.
I seriously have listened to it like 6 times.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah,
I just am so happy with the way in which he elaborates on this world that he gets to live in. He's really good at it.
I thought it was cool, too. He took the time to answer people's questions and stuff. I mean, he's just a class act all the way around. And that just was great.
Oh, yeah. And you ask him something.
Yeah.
And he'll just be like, yeah, no, or yeah, no. He'll be like, going into it. And, like, to think that an actor could have a book conversation with you about the book that his films are adapted off of. That
shocking,
that
isn't it?
To read it. It's like, you wouldn't think that it'd be a big stretch, but not all those kids do that. Not kids necessarily, certainly not all the adult actors know enough about the books to have a conversation that Matt can have.
It's true.
So you gotta really appreciate it.
Yeah. It's really awesome. Good going, Matt.
Yes, he rocks, and I was so appreciative, and I can't wait to see him in the new movie, and he was great. So, wonderful. Yay for Matt. I promise never to squeeze his ear again.
Well, what else is coming up?
Well, I don't know if you guys heard this yet, but we have contracted Matt to record the intro to Pottercast for a few more weeks. And he'll be back, I think, every Wednesday to record that with us.
Yeah, he's going to come into the Pottercast studio.
As long as he's not too busy on set that day.
Awesome.
But yes, he'll be with us for the next few weeks. So that's pretty big news for PotterCast. So hopefully no one will get tired of good old Matt. Hopefully Matt won't get tired of us.
Oh, I think there are probably deal breakers. I think there are ways in which he could get tired of us.
Well, we'll have to try to be good to him, won't we?
Mm-hmm. And, I don't know, guys. Episode 53.
It's good. So probably one of the better PC 5.3s we've ever done.
You haven't done that in a long time.
I know, isn't it? People are starting to forget about it and start bringing it back.
Nostalgic moment.
Oh, I want to thank you guys also for what you've been doing on Podcast Alley. You guys are just kicking butt over there, so
thank you.
Wow.
You guys
doing it.
Are awesome.
I don't know what's happening, but thank you.
Yeah, and last I checked, we're still in the iTunes Top 100.
Wow.
Yeah, which is very nice.
Awesome, because you guys have been subscribing with iTunes and telling your buddies to do the same. That's good stuff.
So all good things going into year two here
that's
on Podcast.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's starting to be a good year so far. It's good. First episode of the year.
Starting off well. Last year at this time, it was just starting to get cool outside, and we were going into fall, and everybody was going back to school, and we were just sort of getting adjusted to it, and now we're back at that.
That reminds me, I will no longer be living at that lovely little place I gave an address to at that one show.
Oh.
So, as adorable as your fan letters are, stop sending them to that address, because I won't see them anymore.
Hey, how about this week we try to get the impersonations contest poll up?
That'd be a great idea. Let's do
I think that's a plan. What do you think?
So it's been 13 and a half weeks, so it's time. It's due.
It actually has, I think. It was episode 38, so it's actually been more than 13 and a half weeks. It's been
I'm pretty sure we picked our winner, though, didn't we?
Pretty sure what?
I think the people's choice needs to happen, but I'm pretty sure the judge's choice has already occurred.
Yeah, I think so.
Dobby is free.
I think we were a little obvious about that as we put it at the end of every show since then.
I think we have to maybe not put that in the running.
Aww.
That guy will get something special on his own. But we will put the links to episodes 37 and 38 so that you remember. You can listen to them again and be reminded and not just vote from memory because, we stink. Sorry about that.
We're awful.
We're just terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But good stuff coming up very soon, so we'll see you for number 54.
Oh, are we closing the show?
I mean, is there anything else to be said?
I don't know. I mean, did we even make any funny? Is that required of the show, or is it just like what you try to do?
Just get on here and make some funnies and not...
Someone told me that if you stop being funny, you're off the show.
Must have been Sue. Yeah.
I think that would be very anti-puffle of me.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, no one really knows it, but Sue can be very strict off air.
No.
When microphones are off, she brings down the hammer on you. She's like, God, make my website. I need some LJ graphics. I'm like, Sue, I'm trying. I'm trying to make your LJ graphics.
Have you noticed?
I need
nothing
it now.
Has been done. It's like a year before ago.
I know, see?
Ask him how long ago he said he was going to do my website.
Okay.
Cheese and crackers. Oh.
Cheese and crackers is right.
I'm not me.
Well, John, why don't you go get on
that? Go do that right now.
I will go because I have nothing else I'm working on.
Nothing else.
Well, I think I'm ready to go. We're grilling some burgers and hot dogs outside. And if you can tell me what other episode I said that on in the Leaky Lounge, you win a John Prize of the week.
What are John Prizes?
What exactly constitutes a John Prize?
John Prizes. Oh, those are only for the John Prize winners to know about.
Oh, boy. Well, then.
Fancy
better
that.
Get going.
Yeah, I'm broken up. I'm broken.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm leaving. You have your lips and thighs of pig.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, they're good. Sirloin burgers, all beef, dogs.
Hot dogs.
Steamed buns. Grilled potatoes.
Just go. You're wasting time.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Okay.
All right, kids. Until next
week. Bye, everyone.
We're the gang.
Have a good week.
See you later.
W3.
Oh, and about time, too.
We've missed it.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.